The first question. Wherefore was I born? The first question of Job, why has God given me life only to send me such suffering now, is the language of the natural man in rebellion against his Maker. Contending with the Almighty, man wants to instruct him. See Job chapter 40 verse 2. He curses the past, reviles the present, and all his future hope is gone. Just as Jeremiah not only bemoans his torments, but also his very existence. Jeremiah chapter 20 verses 14 to 18. What a state to be in. Yet both Job and Jeremiah were faithful and devoted men of God. How did they come to forget themselves? What led them even for a moment to despair of the power and goodness of God? First of all, these men passed through very unusual exercises of soul. All blessings seemed to them to be changed into curses, and instead of hearing words of comfort and sympathy, they were covered with reproach. Their best friends had ceased to show loving sympathy, but worse than all, they themselves could no longer understand why they should so suffer, and saw neither purpose nor profit in it. Just as Asaph in Psalm 73, they came to the conclusion, "Truly, I have purified my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency." And with the preacher, looking only on visible things, they said, "All is vanity." The original cause of such despair lies deeper. If the creature had not in the beginning turned away from his Creator, he would not now curse his existence. The fact that men like Job and Jeremiah were capable of cursing the day of their birth only proves how far man has drifted away from God. As long as all goes well, the rebelliousness and sullenness of the human heart do not show themselves, but trials bring them to light. Temptations are therefore good and necessary, not in order that God may find out what is in man's heart. To him the hidden things of the heart are manifest, and whatever comes out of it does not increase his knowledge, but that man may learn to know himself. By nature, as we have said, man is in rebellion against God, and even when born again, still the old nature constantly shows itself in times of temptation. Let no one think, however, that he is more capable than Job of bearing temptations. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12. Although Job in bitterness of soul said many perverse things, the result of it all was to God's glory and to the blessing of his servant. Many of the questions which he in anguish asked became clear to him in the course of his pleading in defense of himself. Others were answered for him by Elihu, and again God answered some in the whirlwind, and that mostly by counter-questions. Every question can be asked in two ways, either in humility and with the sincere desire to learn, or else in presumptuous rebellion against the solution, be it what it may. In the first case, the questioner honestly takes the place of a learner, which is the right thing for him to do. In the second case, he takes for granted that there is no satisfactory answer, or else that it is definitely withheld. Man either comes before God in sincerity, and with the prayer which later Elihu taught Job, "What I see not teach thou me," Job chapter 34 verse 32, or he asks in rebellion, "Why is everything so different from what it ought to be?" He who does not wish to sit at the feet of the Master and say, "I will demand of thee and answer thou me," takes the place of judge against his God. The vessel says to the potter, "What makest thou?" Foolish as the question is, we yet find it frequently among the children of Adam, the generation of backsliders. The so-called higher criticism that has done so much harm in Christianity puts all its questions in the latter way. In our day, when the spirit of independence forces an entrance everywhere, and all men want to be free to think and do as they please, this fundamental error is almost universal. Even believers must take heed lest they be affected by the spirit of the times. Moreover, there is nothing new under the sun. In reality, the men of Job's time had to solve the same problems as we have today, only with this great difference, that God's counsel has since then been more clearly revealed.